We're in the fourth week of a series I'm calling Surviving Life's Challenges. This week, we're going to look at surviving the wait. How do you have patience while surviving the wait times in our lives? We all have to wait. And it's not just the little things, although they can be irritating. It's also the big things that we have to wait for that really get us. Waiting for a job. Waiting for news from a doctor. Waiting to heal. Waiting for someone else to change or grow. Waiting for yourself to change or grow. Waiting to get out of school. Waiting to get a home. Waiting to achieve a goal. Waiting to retain your health. It's in the big things of life that we struggle with waiting. A few years ago, I had to learn a big lesson in patience. 58 years ago, I had a serious motor scooter accident that almost took my life. I spent 5 months in hospital, but the worst thing was it left me with osteomyelitis in my leg. Osteomyelitis is like having a boil in your bone. It's a chronic illness that can come back at any time, and it has come back for me a number of times. But the worst episode was between 2002 and 2007. And during that time, I was on double strength antibiotics, and I had 3 operations in order to try and get the infection under control. And the reason that it took so long was because the doctors did not know what germ they were fighting. And it was not until I got a new set of doctors that they discovered I'd been given the wrong antibiotics for 4.5 years. With new antibiotics and another operation, I was finally cured. Why am I telling you this? Because I learned a lot of lessons about patience during all that time. We all spend a lot of time of our lives in the waiting room, one way or the other. The truth is, if you are waiting to live after you get through a period of waiting for something in your life, you're not going to really live, because we spend so much of our time in the waiting room. You really haven't learnt to live until you've learnt to wait. Today, we're going to talk about 2 specific things God tells us that you and I can do to make it through, to survive times of waiting. We need to learn why we wait, and we need to learn how to wait. Why do we wait? Why should we have to wait at all? God made the world in 6 days. Doesn't it seem like he could take care of our problems immediately? Of course he could. Why doesn't he? Why does he make us wait? Because of what he's doing in our lives. Why do we wait? Let me give you 3 reasons. Number 1, we wait because God develops our character during these times of waiting. Time waiting is not time wasted. God is working in our lives. And Romans 5 verses 3 and 4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us. Waiting is like an assembly line for character. First comes the waiting, then comes the patience, then comes the character. It's God developing us. Like a picture is developed. Before a picture is developed, all you can see is the negative. But when it's developed, the full colour comes out. And God does the same thing in our lives, even though and through negative circumstances sometimes. He brings out through difficult times the full colour of our personality, of your gifts, of your ability to impact this world. God develops us through times of waiting. Number two, God deepens our compassion during times of waiting. Waiting causes you to slow down enough to notice other people a little bit. And once you notice other people, you're going to see their hurts, because we're all hurting some way or another. And you're going to see their pain, and you're going to feel compassion for them. And seeing people's hurts develops your heart for other people. And when you go through tough times, it helps you understand what others are going through. But more than that, it gives you the strength and the ability to help them. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4 says, He, that is God, comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. God lets you and I go through times of waiting so that we can be compassionate, but also so that we can comfort and help other people who are going through tough times in their lives. Perspective is what the Apostle Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 when he said, These momentary light afflictions that I have. He'd just been whipped and beaten several times, shipwrecked, almost killed, and he says, These little light afflictions that are nothing when compared to the eternal weight of glory. That is keeping things in perspective. Through times of waiting, God develops our character, He deepens our compassion, and number three, He directs our choices. It's amazing how having to wait can change the course of your life. You're going full speed ahead. You know exactly where your life is headed, or you think you do. And you're going as fast as you can toward that goal. And then somehow, God hits the pause button in your life. Maybe just for a few moments. But out of that few moments, that little bit of delay, you realize that's not where you're supposed to be headed. And the entire course of your life is changed. You see, this is where God wants me to be headed. It's amazing how a short time of waiting can help us see our lives in a brand new way. You see, that accident that I told you about, which I had 58 years ago, had a major impact as to why I'm a pastor today. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, He, that is God, gives me new strength. He guides me in right paths just as he has promised. And one of the ways he guides me in those right paths is through times of waiting. As you and I look at these things, character development, compassion deepen, choices made in our lives in a new way, when you and I look at these things, we think that will get me through. And I guess what I want you to hear more than anything else today is this. Knowing these three things will not get you through a time of waiting. It's good to know them, but if that's all you have, you will have understanding, but you will not have the strength to make it through. You'll just feel guilty because you think, I shouldn't feel depressed. I shouldn't feel bad. I should realize that God's working in my life. It takes more than understanding. You need to put into your life some of the tools that God has given us to help us to survive, to make it through. And we're going to talk today about four practical tools of how do you make it through. And it starts with understanding, but then you have to put into practice the how-tos. How do you make it through? How do you survive a time of waiting? Number one, you never wait alone. You wait with others. You wait in a crowd. God has designed us to not live alone. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. And that command is to love one another. Share each other's troubles. Share each other's problems. We're not meant to go through it alone. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other. When you're waiting, you feel like hiding. You feel like hiding because you don't want to have to tell the story one more time about why you're waiting. You feel like hiding because you don't want to have to share the emotions of what you're going through. And for whatever reason, you tend to withdraw rather than to connect. But when you're waiting, you need people more than ever because they are the ones that are going to help you to make it through. You can't wait until the tough times hit to build support of others into your life. You need to do that now. And some of you have heard this for years, and some of you are hearing this maybe for the first time. And I encourage you to do two things to build support into your life. Become part of a church family. You're welcome to become a part of this church family, and that's what a church family's for in this world, to help you to make it through the inevitable difficulties of life, the inevitable waiting times of life, to realize that you're not alone in this. And some of you need to decide today to join a life group. A life group is a place where you get the practical help that you need during difficult times. Some of you have been telling yourself for years, I'm going to join a life group someday. And you put it off year after year. But even more than that, the gifts that you have can help somebody else to make it through. So it's a two-way thing. You can encourage somebody else during a difficult time. You need others to make it through. Number two, never wait in denial. Wait honestly. We have this absolutely incredible ability to live in denial when it comes to the pain of waiting. And some of us think that faith is acting like we don't hurt. That somehow we have to act like everything's okay. Genuine faith is much more real than that. It's taking the real you to the real God. In fact, the more real you get, the more real faith gets. And that's why it works. In order to have real faith, you have to be honest. And let us be honest about what we're going through while we're waiting. We go through fighting, hurting, knowing, changing, and trusting. First comes the fighting. You fight it. You don't like it. You don't want it. And so you fight it with everything that's in you. You pretend that it's not real, and then you begin to fight with God. And you say, why am I going through this? And then inevitably you start to fight with everybody around you. Often we begin to take it out on the people that we love the most, and we begin to fight with each other. I encourage you, be honest with God about that. You're not going to hurt God's feelings by telling him how you feel. He's heard it all before, and he knows it already. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. He knows it all. You just need to share with him what you're going through. And as you share with him your hurts, as you share with him your hurts, an awesome thing begins to happen. You start to feel closer to God than ever before. That's the knowing stage. You begin to know him in a way you've never known him before. Through this time of waiting and hurting and not being honest about it comes the knowing of God. And through that comes changing. Changing your heart, your mind, your perspective. And out of that comes the ability to trust God in a new way for what you are waiting. In the real world, you realize you don't move through these steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It just doesn't work that way. It's often a couple of steps forward and a step back, and then a pause here or there. That's just the way it works. But a lot of us get stuck in the fighting stage. You've been stuck in the fighting stage of something you're waiting for some time, and you just don't know what to do next. When you get stuck in the fighting stage and you never get to be honest about the hurting, you can't move ahead. It takes honesty to move ahead. And when you are honest with God, God begins to work in your life in a new way. It's part of surviving, making it through times of waiting. Many of you are waiting for one thing. It's the one thing that's holding you back. Something that you can't get by your own wits or your own charm or your own endurance or your own money. Only God can grant it. And for some reason, he's chosen not to grant it right now. And so you wait. You pray. You listen to DVDs. You read books. And you try to manipulate God. and nothing seems to work. If only I could get married. If only my spouse would come to the Lord. If only that job would come through, or my children would turn around. It's seemingly a little thing for you, but it is the one thing. And everything in you waits for that. Be honest to God. Have you told him how you feel? That's where it starts. Have you told him that for which you are waiting? Have you told him the struggle that you're going through? The hurt that you have? Psalm 17 and verse 1, listen to my honest prayer. God loves honest prayers. Jesus reaffirmed that when he spoke in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and I'm reading you this from the Message paraphrase. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place where you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. Honesty is one of the keys to making it through a time of waiting. Number three, never wait passively, wait actively. Does waiting for God mean that I just sit back in my easy chair, get my Krispy Kremes and munch on them and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Hit me when you are. No way. That's not waiting for God. When you hear the word wait, we often think stop. And that's what it often means in the English language. But the word wait in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, doesn't mean stop. It means trust. It means hope. It's something you do actively. How do you wait actively? You wait actively when you wait by seeking God's help. Actively asking God's help. Psalm 40 and verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And he lifted me out of the slimy pit. He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. You actively trust that God can lift you out of the difficulties of life. G. Campbell Morgan said about actively waiting on God, quote, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, actively under command. You do what God says. And second, readiness for any new commands that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. End of quote. What does it mean to actively wait? It means you're actively drawing on God's strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up, soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle soar? Doesn't look like it's doing very much. They just have wings out, and they have little tiny flaps once in a while. And they are soaring on these great heights because God has designed the eagle so that it can catch the updraft and soar to great heights. Actively waiting means you're actively depending on God to work. And Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, "For since the world began, no one has ever seen or heard of such a God as ours, who works for those who," what? "Wait for him." And while you're waiting, God is working. In fact, when there's nothing more that you can do, sometimes God's greatest and deepest work has begun in your life. Number four, never wait with fear. Wait with hope. You need hope to make it through. God wants to give you that hope. He tells us of one of the sources of that hope in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, where he says, "Everything that was written in the past in the Bible was written to teach us. The scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope." The Bible is filled with encouragement to help you make it through. It's filled with stories of people who have had to wait and yet saw God come through and give them hope. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a story of a woman named Hannah who had to wait. She had to wait for children. In her case, her husband had married two wives. They weren't supposed to do that, but they did things God told them not to in those days too. And the other wife, Hananiah, was having children, but Hannah wasn't. And the Bible tells us that Hananiah constantly went after Hannah and made her feel devalued, made her feel terrible, becoming her rival. So Hannah was in this spirit of depression, waiting. And she prayed an honest prayer to God. And one day, God did grant her prayer and gave her a son. We don't know the names of any of Penaniah's children, but we do know Hannah's son was named Samuel. And Samuel has two books of the Old Testament named after him. Take that, Penaniah. Samuel became the government and the spiritual leader of the people of Israel. Why did God make Hannah wait? Because while she was waiting, God was developing her. He was developing patience in her and a character in her like no one else in her day. And don't you think Hannah passed along some of those lessons to her young son, Samuel? Of course. In order to develop a Samuel, God had to first develop a Hannah. Then, maybe by the way, and that by the way, while you are going through some of your times of waiting, not just for you, but you're going through a time of waiting because of the gifts and the wisdom that you are going to be able to pass on to someone else in your life. The Bible is absolutely filled with stories of people who had to wait. A guy named Joseph had to wait 13 years before he became the leader of Egypt as he had been promised. A lot of those years were in prison. A man named Abraham had to wait 25 years before the son that had been promised to him came into his life. And a guy named Noah had to wait 100 years before the flood that God said was going to come really came. The people of Israel had to wait 400 years before they were set free from captivity. The world waited thousands of years before Jesus came into the world like God promised. If every person of faith has had to wait, guess what? You and I are going to have to wait too. That's one of the definitions of life in this world. Waiting for God, what God's going to do in eternity. Meanwhile, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Look at this picture in Isaiah 30 verse 18. God's heart is toward you right now. The Lord still waits for you to come to him that he can show you his love. He's waiting for you right now. You may have run from him for years. You may have thought that you were long forgotten in the heart of God. That's not true. Every moment of your life, God has waited for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. That is how deep his love is for you. And so I would say to you, for what are you waiting? Run. Don't walk to his love. Find in his love the strength that you need to make it through. The hope that you need in this world. Start by trusting your life to him. If you've never done that before, or you can't remember whether you've done it before, do it today. How do you trust your life to him? You just trust it all. Not just a little part, all. The bad and the good. Say, God, I've done a lot of rotten things, and I ask you to forgive me. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's what that's all about. And if you haven't done that, do it now. Run to him. Don't wait a moment longer. For all of us, there is that one thing. You've been thinking about it during the entire message. I don't know what it is, but you do. It's been on your mind as I've been speaking. Trust him with that one thing. After you've trusted him with your life, then trust him circumstance by circumstance, problem by problem, joy by joy for the rest of your life. Come to him and say, God, I need to trust you with this circumstance that I'm waiting for right now. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that as we close today. If you are ready to commit your life to Jesus, then I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. I'll say it slowly so you can say it in your own heart to the Lord. Dear Lord, you have promised that if I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, everything I've ever done wrong will be forgiven. I will learn the purpose of my life, and you will accept me into your eternal home in heaven one day. I confess I've sinned, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died to take away my sins and that you raised him to life. I want to trust Jesus as my Saviour and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you want to begin your life with the Lord, I encourage you to speak to someone here today before you leave. Because as we were saying earlier, we need each other. We encourage each other. And that's probably the most important decision you've ever made in your life. So you need to share it with someone. I'd love to hear about it. But you might know someone in the church who you know is walking well with the Lord. Go and share it with them. Thank you.